to protect and to, shall we say, patrol our borders. Is this the case, though? Associate Professor on Strategy in the Faculty of Military Science at the Stellenbosch University is joining us today, Professor Abel Yesterhuis. Very good morning to you, sir. How are you doing this morning?
Morning, Abs. No problem.
Morning.
We're doing fine. Sitting in Namibia at the moment.
Absolutely fantastic. Whereabouts in Namibia, may I ask?
In Windhoek. Lecturing for 2 weeks at the University of Namibia.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely fantastic. But let's bring it home. Let's bring it home, Prof. I mean, it's one of the things that so many people have asked about. You know, we see some of the submarines just hanging out there, not patrolling. But certainly from some of the other experts that we've spoken to, it's not different from any other country. No country ever uses all its arsenal at once. But one of the issues that most people blame is the issue of funding. You tend to disagree with that.
Yeah, look, the Defense Force has problems. There's no doubt about it. And one may argue that it is not getting enough money, especially the fact that it's not getting its peacekeeping money back. And the peacekeeping money is not channeled back to the Defense Force. But I think one need to take a broader look at what South Africa can afford. And to be quite honest, I don't think we can afford to spend more money on defense, given the social and economic and other challenges we are facing in the country. But that's part of the problem. What I said in the article is that one also needs to look at the budget itself and how the Defense Force is going about spending the money they're getting. And they are receiving from Treasury. And if you look at the defense budget at present, you will see that there's a structural problem because 80% of the defense budget is spent on personnel. In other words, 80% of the budget is utilized for no other reason just to pay money, to pay people. So that leaves about 20% of the defense budget for operations, and then one also need to consider the capital expenditure, in other words, new toys that they need to buy and how they sustain the toys they have, the submarines and the aircraft and all the other vehicles and stuff. So that's the first problem, I think. And before the Defense Force has fixed that problem, before they have fixed the structure in the defense budget, I think they should not expect to get more money.
I'm trying to be on the same page as you, because if we're saying, and I fully understand what you're saying, that 80% of the budget is being used on personnel, and then 20% of that goes into the infrastructure and the weaponry and everything else, all the resources that the SANDF might need, I suppose then it boils back to the argument that give us a bigger sized budget, and we'll be able to allocate more percentage then on these resources. So thus saying that the actual problem is, in fact, the budget.
Well, that's why I say that. I mean, there is a need for more money. But we also have no guarantee that if we give them more money, that they will not spend that money on anything else than on personnel. And if you look at the personnel structure of the Defense Force, there's also a huge, huge problem with the personnel structure of the Defense Force. Because if you compare what we normally refer to as the corporate army versus the field army, in other words, the bureaucratic support structure in Pretoria, I should say, versus the boots on the ground, if you do a quick analysis of the difference between that corporate army and the field army, you will quickly find yourself in a situation where you ask yourself, okay, so where is the boots on the ground? Because the corporate army in Pretoria is so big, we are sitting with so many generals, so many colonels, so many majors in Pretoria, in the corporate army, in the bureaucratic army, that there's not enough boots on the ground. So even paying the personnel, we are faced with a situation where we do not have personnel to deploy. That's one problem. Another problem is the fact that our defense force hasn't rolled out what is normally referred to an up or out personnel management system. In militaries, this boils down to having young people available in the defense force for operational purposes, but that you phase them out of the military by, let's say, age 30. Because defense forces need young people. So you typically want to bring people in, you want to train them, you want to utilize them for 2 or 3 years, and you want to move them out of the system in a sort of a reserve force and bring in new boots. Well, if you look at the South African personnel structure, you will find that we haven't moved any people out of the system. We're sitting with troops at the lowest of low level that's 40, 48, 50, 55 years old. They are not deployable.
And if you've just joined us at home, by the way, you are listening to Prof. Abel Easterace, Associate Professor on Strategy in the Faculty of Military Science at Stellenbosch University. And certainly, I think, Prof, if I can summarize, I get the understanding of what you're saying now, in that, yes, budget will always be a problem, but it is not the problem that they have, because the most threatening issue that we have in our military is the age and the high tier of command that we have. So if we were to say, instead of having all these command officers that are sitting in offices, if we were to bring them down to boots on the ground, that would surely work to our benefit. And also, if you're above the age of 30, you should be moving further than the military, not staying in the military. Because if I understand correctly, the more you stay, you get an increase each and every year, which means you become part of an issue. So if we let in young people, we should be good. Am I getting you correctly?
Absolutely. I mean, let's just think about a general salary, for example, and how many young troops you can deploy and you can bring into that system with one salary or the salary of one general. There's another argument. I mean, this all arguments has another perspective to it, and of course there is an argument for having and keeping people employed in the military. In other words, making a contribution to job employment, and that we utilize the defense force for purposes of employment and keeping people employed and giving people work and keeping them employed. I mean, that's an argument, the other side of the coin, so to speak. But I think we can click both boxes by providing jobs and by providing the right jobs to people and bringing the right people into the jobs. We are sitting with a huge problem in terms of structural issues. The fact that the veterans budget has been allocated and has become part of the defense budget, that's a problem, because it's now been ring-fenced in the defense budget. So that's a problem. One has to ask yourself why the special treatment for military veterans? Why can't they become part of the social department as and be dealt with in the same way that all other state retirees are accommodated? Why should they be given the special treatment? So that's another problem that we are sitting with. Why the special treatment of military veterans?
Well, some may argue perhaps it's for votes.
some people will definitely say, and especially, I mean, if you look at the role that the Deputy Minister of Defence is playing in terms of, I mean, he's the leading person in the military, the MK Veterans Organisation. I mean, if you consider the dual-headed appointment that he has. There's absolutely no doubt in my mind that there's politics at play here, and that the president is trying to bring the veterans into the kraal, so to speak. Some of them, one has to say, is younger than most of us.
Yeah,
but that's another case.
They are still veterans. Prof, thank you so much for joining us this morning. It has been an absolute pleasure. Prof Abel Yesterday, joining us on the show this morning just to talk to us about the defense and the military budget. Is it the major issue at the core of why perhaps they're finding it difficult to patrol our borders? Or is it in fact that the budget is used in ways that it shouldn't be for military purposes, in the sense that too many high commanding officers that are getting bigger salaries should be, in fact, maybe, shall we say, demoted or maybe restructured to boots on the ground? 021-446-0567. That's the number you can call. It is 25 minutes past five. Good morning to you. What are you doing? What are you up to? Game.